In this day I have called you for such a time as this.
Praise.
You're not to wait for the next generation. You are the generation.
The Lord says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, who should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness and brought you into His marvelous light. Yield yourselves as members of righteousness this day. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, says the Lord.
The Lord. People who will step up to the plate. People who will take that one step, trusting in me, relying on my word, obedient to that which I'm speaking into their hearts at this very moment. I need people whose word is in their heart and in their mouth. I need people. I need you, says the Lord.
Yes.
For I know your heart, I know your spirit. I know the things that you are capable of. I know the things I have called you to do. But it's your choice. And I set before you this day that choice. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Choose me. Choose my way. Choose the path I have set before you. And live.
Yes.
And prosper. And serve me. And be obedient to me. And declare my word. And let your light shine. And kept not under a bushel. You are my beloved child, each and every one of you. You are my church, my spotless bride.
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We give you praise. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you for this day and this time. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your anointing. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Once again, Holy Spirit, this is God's time. We are His people. We release the service into you now, your hands, Lord. And Holy Spirit, speak through me the will and the mind of God. Hide me behind the cross. Let your word stand. Let the words of man fall to the ground and die. And let it all be sealed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we praise you and thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. It seems like everything that's said and everything that comes about today that we talk about or that's been said or that's been thought about, you know, just brings me to further and further into things that we don't have enough time to go through everything, and I'm not going to. I have a specific direction I want to go. But I just want to read this to you. I believe this will minister to some people. It's James 5, 19 and 20. It says, "Brethren, if any among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." And we know that love covers a multitude of sins. Amen? Praise the Lord. God began to speak to me and deal with me about thoughts. Thinking, you know, wrong thinking, negative feelings, negative thoughts. What's interesting is that negative thoughts and feelings come from self-imposed laws we place on ourselves, not from the truth of God's Word. And what happens when we get into those thoughts and we see something going on around us, we react, but when we react out of guilt. How many know guilt and condemnation do not come from God? Amen?
Amen.
Guilt and condemnation do not come from God. Now, bear with me. I want to try to pull two things together. Actually, it's one big picture, but we just need to trust the Holy Spirit that He's going to do exactly what He set forth to do this morning. So if you will, turn with me to James. We've got a lot of Scripture here right at the very first. There's a reason for it. Just bear with me and follow along. We're going to read James, the full third chapter and the fourth chapter. One has 18 verses and one has 17 verses. And there's a reason for it. Starting in chapter 3, verse 1, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we shall stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, and they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large, and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body, and is set on fire, the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless God and our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, and a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. He who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Chapter 4. "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, 'The Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy, but He gives more grace'? Therefore He says, 'God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble.' Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there and buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Praise the Lord. Now I want to go on to the next scripture, which is Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. A familiar scripture to all of you. And I've got some things written in here, so I'm going to read it the way I've got it written, because I've added some things in from some definitions. It says, the heart, in verse 9, or the inner man, the soul, the mind, the conscience, and the seat, or the seat of appetites, is deceitful. When you read that word heart, you're talking about the mind, will, and emotions of man. So it says it's the inner man, the soul, the mind, the conscience, and the seat of appetites, and it's deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. That word desperately wicked there means weak, sick, and frail, incurable. That's why we have to, by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, bring our hearts or our mind, wills, and emotions into subjection to the Spirit and the Word of God. Amen? Is that right? Because if not, then our flesh wants to and will run amok, and it will lead us astray. Amen? That's where stinking thinking starts. Amen? I want to remind you what it says in 1 Corinthians. You don't have to turn there, but I just want to read this real quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to remind you in those four verses what it says. Verses 4 through 8. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice at iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Going back to the rest of this. The heart of the inner man, the soul, the mind, conscience, the seat of appetites, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, or weak, sick, and frail, incurable. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Now, negative thoughts and feelings, as I said earlier, come from self-imposed laws that we impose on ourselves, or it's based on our upbringing or teaching that is not based on God's character or His will or His truth, or if you will, just His Word. Okay? Most of the time, our reactions to situations and interactions with others that bring a bad or negative reaction come from guilt and what we despise in ourselves. Are you with me? Oh man, y'all are not reacting. You must not like this. Sometimes the truth hurts, huh? But thank God it does. Hallelujah. You want to turn with me? You can turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. If you're taking notes, you don't necessarily have to turn. Just write these down. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in portion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering, he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, He who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes it's real easy. How many know salvation's new every day? You can't live on yesterday's salvation. Are you with me? You can't live on that. You know? It's the same thing as, you know, I'll just say this again. Some of you have heard this, some of you have not. I remember years ago in a church that I was associated with, I used to run to different places. I was a truck driver, and I used to run to different places. At the time, I was a truck driver. And I used to run to different places. And one of the places I went, there was a lady who was a receiver for a large supermarket chain here in Denver. And bless her heart, you know, she loved the Lord, but she had some really bad thinking. And I remember going there one day, and she's being fed the truth now, you understand? But I remember going one day, and out of the clear blue sky, she said to me, "Pastor, if I don't make it, it'll be your fault." And I said, "Where did you get that from?" I said, "You'll stand alone, just like I will stand alone at the judgment seat of Christ. And you'll be judged just like I'll be judged. I won't save you, and I won't keep you from going. It'll be you and your works and what you do with what God has given you." And again, she said, "Pastor, if I don't make it, it'll be your fault." And that was the last time I ever saw her. You see, insecurities in things, or that kind of thinking, is what takes us away and keeps us from walking in the power and the presence and the giftings and the anointings of God. Amen? It also causes separation or division, which God says He hates those who sow division among the brethren. Amen? Those who sow discord. Now, on the other hand, when we see somebody taken in a fault, we're supposed to restore such an one in humility and meekness, amen, and in love. Is that right? Okay. Now, one of the things that should be evident when we see things like this happen, ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you again, we're supposed to work out our own salvation. We're supposed to consider our ways. The Word of God is not a mirror for us to flaunt in somebody else's face to show them where they're missing the mark. The Word of God is meant to be a mirror that shows us where we are in our relationship and our walk with God. And if you are doing the Word and the will of God, you don't have time to be worried about what somebody else is doing and to pass judgment on them or make harsh statements against somebody else. You need to look at yourself and always go inward, not outward. God did a tremendous work in me years ago. I thank Him for it. There used to be a time when, man, I'll tell you, if I felt attacked or something went wrong, boy, I'd be right in there just like a junkyard dog trying to defend myself and try to point out that they were wrong. And one day God got a hold of me and reminded me what He did for me and who I really was. And from then on, when something goes wrong or somebody has an accusation or whatever it is against me, the first thing that the Holy Spirit does is remind me of where I came from and causes me to stop and look inwardly and ask God, "God, is there any truth to this?" And if there is, I fall on my face and I repent and I say, "God, I'm sorry. I repent. Maybe I had some culpability in the actions or what led to this outbreak or this castigation against me, if you will. But if I didn't, then my job is not to go around, "Boy, I tell you, that person really missed the mark. Man, are they wrong. Woo-hoo!" You know, no. My position is to get on my knees and run to God in their behalf and say, "God, I release them to You. I thank You by the Holy Spirit that You're ministering to their heart, that the Word of God is a seed that's planted and the Word does not return void, but it brings forth exactly what it was sent to do." Amen? It brings forth fruit in its season. And if you'll do that and you'll release them, which is what forgiveness really is, it's not, "I forgive you." How many have tried to forgive in the past and, you know, I mean, it just seems to eat you alive. You just can't forget. You said, "I forgive you." Well, folks, let me tell you, I recommend this for anybody who has never heard this message, get a hold of Stan's message on forgiveness. I can't remember how many discs there are, messages there were, but in every scripture from the Old Testament, from Genesis to Revelation, it says to release. What does that mean? That means, "God, I release them into Your hands. And when you do that, you don't usurp the authority and the power of God or the place of God, so that God can not only bring restitution to your life, but He can bring them to a place of restitution and cause them to bring restitution if that's what He requires. But it's up to Him, not you and I, because we're not the judge. Why aren't we the judge? Because we don't have enough knowledge to be a judge. Amen? Is that right? God is the one who sees. He is the beginning and the end. He sees the first from the last. He is the first and the last. He's the one who has the ability to see, not us. Our ways are not His ways. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. We react instead of being proactive and immediately get the hackles on the back of our neck up, and we want to attack like a cornered animal. You hear me? Brethren, as the Scripture says, these things ought not to be so. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In this day and time, we cannot afford to be harboring things that will hinder us from operating in the gifts and calling and the anointing God's placed on our lives. There are people out there who are desperately needing us to be who God has created us to be, to walk in the power and authority so that we can touch their lives for the kingdom of God by the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. Amen? So that the kingdom is propagated. Amen? It's all about the kingdom. Once again, I'll remind all of us, it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about others. I'll remind you again what I was taught as a young lad in the Presbyterian church, a little song we used to sing. Joy is spelled Jesus and others in you. And you know what, folks? Just like the song says, that's a wonderful way to spell joy. When Jesus is first and you have the ability to love the way God loves others, to be that light and that shining example, and in turn, God blesses you in the end because of your obedience and doing the will of God. Amen? Does that make sense? You all know this scripture. Most of you could quote it to me backwards and forwards and upside down. Mark 11:22 through 26. But it's paramount. This is one of the most important scriptures that we need to remember in our dealings with people and with this life. Amen? Mark 11:22-26. Jesus answered and said to him, or to them, "Have faith in God." Some have said, "Have the God kind of faith." "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Now let me tell you something. Sometimes we're quick to, in fact a lot of times, we're quick to attack a mountain that looks like it's in our way rather than attacking the mountain that's in our life. In other words, we won't attack the mountain out there. We don't want to attack the mountain in here. We're in a little bless me club of our own saying, "Well, I'm okay." And you go to our neighbor and say, "Well, you're okay. But the person who came against us, you know what, honey? The reason you got your hackles up is because something's wrong in your own heart." Jeremiah 17:9. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Amen? Verse 24. "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you or forgive your trespasses." Now let me tell you something. You want to be free? How many here want to be free? Then when things come your way that cause you distress or grief or anger, you release it to God and begin to pray for that person. And how many know when you pray for another person, you can't be angry with them? Amen? It's not possible. Amen? It's not possible. I think I remember reading someplace, correct me if I'm wrong, that says, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Treat others the way you want to be treated. Oh, that sounds real easy. How many know that takes work? It takes the presence of God and the co-laboring of God in your life to be able to do that. You know how you do that? You know how that becomes solid and strong in your life and prevails in your life? By continuing to be on your face before Him. On your face, you know what I mean. I'm not talking about piety or things. I'm talking about a heart genuinely seeking and hungering after God. Amen? Seeking and hungering after God. And fellowship with that living Word. two fellows in the same ship? If you're truly in fellowship, you don't just all of a sudden jump out of the ship. Amen? Besides that, if you do that, you're going to get wet. Okay, we'll let that one go. Consider your ways. Once again, if you see a brother taking a fault, restore such an one. How do you do that? You get on your face before God and you say, Father, you love that person. And you begin to confess your love for him. Remember what we read in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. God's love, there is no self in God's love. John 3, 16, there is no self in God's love. In John 3, 17, there is no condemnation in God's love. Amen? You're condemned when you're led away of your own lusts and enticed. Amen? Bless his darling heart and mixed up mind. Frank Sinatra forever sang the song, I did it my way. And I don't even want to think about where he might be. I pray that's not the case, but unfortunately his lifestyle didn't show that he had any hope. But I'm not the final judge, God is. And I'll remind everybody, there's going to be people there who we thought, Lord, I don't understand how they, or who we think, I don't understand how they made it. And there's going to be people who didn't make, who we thought, man, they were the greatest person going. Amen? But it's based on the heart, and God sees the heart. We see the outward appearance, and that's what we react to. When we become mature in God, we don't react to things out of feelings or emotions. We react based on the love of God, which is in our hearts, which reaches out and is always reaching out as a servant. Amen? As a servant. How many know servitude for God with God is voluntary? It's not demanded or required. You have a choice. But you know by not walking in the forgiveness or releasing of people, you have the ability to handcuff God. Literally handcuff God. I remember years ago, I had my equipment with me by request of Pastor Stan. And Patrick volunteered to be the guinea pig. And Stan preached on the fact that you can handcuff God. So I took out my handcuffs and I handcuffed Patrick. And we used that as a demonstration. How many know you have the ability to handcuff God? Almighty God. People call He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's all-powerful. And He's sovereign only to the degree in your life and in this world that people allow Him to be sovereign. Did you hear me? Now, that might not set well with some of you, but that's the absolute truth. That's the absolute truth. And how many know there are absolutes? In fact, absolute is in God only. The only absolute truth is God's truth. Amen? Hallelujah. Forgiveness is the catalyst or hindrance. Let me say it again. Forgiveness is the catalyst, or non-forgiveness is the hindrance to our growth, God's blessing in our life, and the power we operate in. Amen? I'm going to throw out some scriptures. You might want to write them down. I have a few more thoughts and we'll go there. But Psalm 94. Turn with me to Psalm 94 or write it down. 94 verse 11. Psalm 94 verse 11. We all know what Hebrews 11 says. I believe it's Hebrews 11. The Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder or the separating of the soul and the spirit. The soul, the flesh. Anytime you read that word soul or heart, you understand you're operating in what the word is basically flesh. And the flesh is enmity with God. They that are God, you who are gods, are led by the Spirit, not by the flesh or by feelings. Amen? Psalm 94, verse 11. The Lord knows the thoughts of a man, that they are futile. The thoughts of a man are futile. They're self-destructive. Amen? They're self-seeking. They're sensual. They're devilish, the Word says. Amen? Isaiah 55, 7 and 8. Isaiah 55, 7 and 8. For those of you who are taking notes. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous his thoughts. The unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, and He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, says the Lord. Did you hear that? Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, and he will what? Not just a little bit, not minusculely, but abundantly pardon. Amen? Whew. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Matthew 15 through 20, or 5 through 20, I'm not sure which. We'll see here. Matthew 15 through 20. I believe it's 15 through 20. Is anybody getting anything out of this? Then Peter answered and said to him, "Explain this parable to us." So Jesus said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not understand that what enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man." Ouch. For out of the heart proceed... Now this ties right in with Jeremiah 17:9. How many know the Old Testament contains the New and the New Testament explains the Old? How many know that? You're right on the money, you folks. Praise God. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, and false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. To eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Amen? The last one here is 1 Corinthians 13, 11 through 13. 1 Corinthians 13, 11 through 13. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know, just as I am also, as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Didn't we just read? Love is not self-seeking. For God so loved the world. God loved us in that while we were yet sinners. Amen? Our response is the same as someone like your mate. You love that person. That love is shown when it's given in unselfishness and no consideration of self, and it's responded to. Amen? It's responded to. It's not about us. It's about others. Faith works by love. Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Philippians 2, 1 through 11. I know this is a lot of scripture, but if you meditate this, if you go back and you look at this and meditate this, I guarantee you, you're going to come out changed. You're being changed right now, I know. Just like I am. This is ministering to me, folks. This isn't just for me to spit out on you. How many know that as a pastor, your job is not to force feed people, but your job is to seek God for what the people need and what God has for them. Not what they need, but what God has for them, which He knows what they need. Amen? Prepare that meal and set it out there, and then every seed brings forth fruit in its own season. Amen? And it produces fruit after its own kind. Some things will go in and take root immediately and bring forth a harvest. Some things will take a little while, and it's built on here a little, there a little. Precept upon precept. Amen? Right? So my job is not to worry about how you deal with the Word or not. My job is to be obedient and give it to them. I'm no different than you are. The only difference is God holds me responsible for what I do and how I rule for you. You understand? I don't rule over you. I'm not your ruler. I'm one who's been given the accountability of nurturing and feeding you. Being a shepherd, just like Jesus, in the example of Jesus, to bring you back and to show you the Word so that you can let the Word change you, change your heart and your attitudes. Amen? Praise the Lord. Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love. being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Oh, man, does that make your flesh squirm? Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but for the interests of others. Whoa, there goes selfishness right out the window. And we all know what selfishness is. Ish means God. Self-God. How many know that's adultery and homosexuality against God? Because He says you're not to have any other gods before Him. That includes you. And you want peace in your life? You want to know why you can't have peace or why you don't have peace? He says, the man who keeps his mind stayed on Him, He will keep him in perfect peace. Stayed on Him. Not on me, not on I, not on my lusts, not on my desires, unless my desires are coincide with Christ for the benefit of the ones that God brings me in contact with. Amen? Which is just as much you folks as it is anybody out there. In fact, more so. Amen? God is so good. God is so good. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Did you hear this? Made himself of no reputation. How many know absolute power corrupts absolutely? Amen? Scripture tells us, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. That's a good way to step into deception quickly. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus made himself of no reputation. He became a servant. The only plan he had was to obey the Father's voice, to speak what the Father said. And he was committed to that. Amen? We're told to be Christ-like, to be the same, to be in, let the same mind be in you which was also in Christ. We're told to do that. And how do you do that? It's by making the same commitment. What does the Bible say about love? What's the greatest love you can have? Amen. That's right. For each other. Let's make it practical. For each other. Don't consider a suffered wrong. Don't become prideful. How many know your faith works by your love? Amen. The love of God and by the love you show. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Colossians 3, 12 through 17, if I didn't say that. I apologize. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness. I want to see if you're all awake. Long-suffering. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Folks, these are not just suggestions. These are laws that if you will operate and walk in, you'll have blessing. you'll have abundance. You'll see things happen. People are looking for genuineness. You know, there's people that sit in churches today that are still looking for the truth to be preached, the truth to be heard, and for somebody to stand up. You know, I can remember back, I've been in a lot of churches in my life. 45 plus years I've been serving the Lord. And you know what? It wasn't until I got associated with this church in 1993 before it became New Life, but it was another church. First of all, that I knew I was where God wanted me to be for the first time in my life. Well, I'm not saying that I never knew that before, but this time I knew that I knew. And it's been a blessing ever since. And my whole focus at that point, after years of foolishness, trying to run out ahead of God, trying to do things in my own power, which not only created damage and consequences for me, but it caused consequences for the kingdom. Thank God He's a God of restoration and reconciliation. Amen. And I came to the place in 1993 where I said, God, I'm sick and tired of all this. I'm not perfect. I know I'm not perfect. I want to be transparent. I don't care what people think. I want to be right in your eyes. You'll take care of the rest. And I've been free ever since. Glory to God. He's been making me freer every day. Hallelujah. God wants transparency. He wants genuineness. Amen. How many remember the little kind of picture that I shared? It'd be new for some folks, obviously. But when you're in Christ and Christ is in you, it's like you climb into an elevator that has two-way mirrors. The elevator is a representation of Christ. You're hidden in Christ, so all they see is either their own reflection or they begin to see by the power of God Christ. Because you're in Him. They don't see you. They see Christ. I remember years ago we commissioned a painting for senior pastor, the founder of this church, Stan, who's still my pastor. And he told us one time, he said, the one desire, and I think everybody here would say this, but do you really mean it? The only thing I want people to see is not me, but when they look at me, I want them to see Jesus. Amen? I want them to see Jesus. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? The only hope some people have is the Jesus that they see in you. You being Jesus, being His feet, His arms, His hands, and His mouthpiece in this earth. Amen? And that means you can't harbor unforgiveness. You can't hold people in their sin or their trespasses against you. You can't do it. Well, you can, but you're going to suffer the consequences. You're the one who's going to suffer. And I'll remind you all that bitterness not only destroys you, but it destroys those around you. Anger, the Bible says, don't let the sun set on your wrath, on your anger. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go back. Colossians 3, verse 14 says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace, in verse 15, of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I think we read the whole thing. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. He's the one. The works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Amen. Now if you have to pray, God, make me willing to be made willing to do your will, then do it. And He will. But you make the decision. It has to be a decision. And no decision is a decision until it's a decision. There's nothing wishy-washy about it. I've made some decisions in my life and you're not going to shake me from it. People out there are not going to change my mind. I usually have one standard thing that I say to people. I said, you know what? I said, let me ask you a question. If I'm right, or I start the other way around. If you're right and I'm wrong, what do you think I've lost or I've missed out on? Not a thing. I've lived a good life. I've lived a peaceable life. I've lived life where I've had good relationships with people. But if I'm right and you're wrong, what have you risked? Everything. Amen? And you know what? We can't afford to take a chance like the five foolish virgins, not to have our oil and be ready, totally prepared, like the Scripture says, for His coming. Because you might get, or you will get left behind by an act of your choice and your will, not the will of God. Because it's not His will that any perish. Amen? When you are truly surrendered to God and His will, there is no mere I or self. Everything you do is based on being a servant and motivated by love. Amen? With the kingdom of God, it's, as I said, voluntary servitude, which brings the blessings of God in your life and relationships and on others. Did you know that you have the ability to hinder the blessings of God in other people's lives? And that's why, you know what, even if you're not the one who's wrong, the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up. He'll exalt you. Go and say, you know what, I'm really sorry. What did Jesus say on the cross? Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Matthew 16, 24 through 27. We've just got a little further to go. Are you still with me? Matthew 16, 24 through 27. This is a powerful message, man. I'm telling you, you don't understand. The Word of God's doing some cutting on me, I'll promise you. How many know that that two-edged sword, as I bring it back like this to point it out to you, that's cutting here too? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for My sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and He will reward each according to his works. When we entertain selfishness, we open the door to believe a lie. And the danger in that is at some point that lie becomes the truth. And then the Scripture asks the questions, how great is your deception? Scripture says don't lie against the truth. James 1:27 says, pure religion, undefiled, is this. It's to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Humility is what we need to operate in. I heard the story that somebody made a statement here just recently that, boy, there was a lot of evil in that place. Well, maybe if you were looking into that mirror of the Word, it might be that you brought the evil in, not somebody else. And you're reacting to things in you that you don't like or things that are unresolved issues in your life. This is not casting aspersions or judgment on that particular individual. What I'm trying to say to you, if you haven't figured it out yet, I know your hearts. I've talked to most of you. And our hearts are to see restoration. Amen. Isn't God a God of restoration and reconciliation? Doesn't make any difference who was at fault. Jesus' example was, He's the good shepherd. And He leaves the 99 and goes after the one. Do y'all know that you're shepherds too? God has caused there to be and has given assignments in your life. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the board. It's all of us. Scripture says, come now, let us reason together. And I'll remind you that you might be the very one that God has put the anointing on to restore that one. Amen? Praise the Lord. Negative thoughts and feelings come to rob you of your faith and cause you to doubt God and the living Word. In closing, 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly or human, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When you get a violent reaction from somebody, the first thing that ought to hit your heart is to go to pray. Ask the Holy Spirit, or as we do in this place, send the word. I send the word, Lord, to that person. I thank you that, like it says in Ephesians 1:18, that the eyes of their understanding are illuminated and enlightened to truth. When you send the word, who's the word? The living word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Who's the way, the truth, and the life? Who is the light? It's Jesus. So when you send the word, you're sending truth, the right way, and the life of God, and the light of God. Amen? And what happens when life comes into darkness? The things that cause you to stumble are exposed. And then God, in His mercy and grace, by the Holy Spirit, who's the teacher and guide into all truth and the comforter, brings that restoration and reconciliation into effect. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We cannot afford not to walk in forgiveness, and we cannot afford not to release to God. Not just those who have wronged us, but those who maybe we've been praying for a long time. Maybe the key is the fact that you haven't really released them to God. Most of you know the testimony about my son. When my son started getting out of hand and going places that, he wasn't criminally off, but he was just guilty of being stupid. Well, I've been there and done that, got the t-shirt, the trophy, and the ribbon, and the whole thing. In fact, I got the blue ribbon. First place. When it comes to being a dingle bunny, man, I had the corner on the market. But when I released him into God's hands and said, God, I release him because you're the safest here. He's in the safest hands he can be in. And backed off, even though I only had good thoughts in mind and good motivation. Still, words spoken out of season cause the opposite effect of what they're supposed to. But a word fitly spoken in season will do great things. Amen? And I've watched God take him places that I've desired. He's still not where I would like to see him. But he's in God's hands. And I'm not going back. Cast your care on him because he cares for you. Do you know why you love so intently? Do you know why you seek hard after some things? It's because you're operating in the love of God, which has been manifest through you and in you. Do you understand? God loves far beyond what you could ever possibly imagine. And we're the recipients of it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now this is not only... In fact, this should be something we take to heart. Not to go out and just vomit on somebody else or go out and try to set somebody straight, but to take to heart, examining our own lives where we're at. And acting like David, a man after God's heart. Being quick to repent. And saying, whether you feel like you're at fault or guilty or not, saying, Father, I'm sorry. That's called humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. And watch God exalt you and lift you up. Amen? And do a miracle in whatever situation. I'm not just talking about one. I'm talking about things in this room, in the lives of you people and myself, that most folks don't even know. And that's okay. We're not required to know. God has to know. And He does know. Amen? Because you can't hide it from Him. Once again, I want to be transparent. I want to be right with God. I don't care about anything else. And you know what? In that desire, all things fall into place and become right. Amen? And become profitable for the kingdom and for you and for those around you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give the Lord praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If this ministered to you today, maybe God's speaking to your heart. Maybe there's something. You don't have to reveal it. Just come up and get agreement. God knows. I don't need to know. But don't walk out of here with anything hanging on to you. You know, the Starship Enterprise and the Federation of Planets, they were always battling against the Klingons, and we don't need a bunch of Klingons. Amen? We need to get rid of it, casting all of our care on Him because He cares for us. And there's freedom and release in that. Amen? Hallelujah. So if you need prayer, don't miss this opportunity. And once again, the question is, are all hearts clear? Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Father, right now, I thank you for these people who are faithful to you. You see and reward the faithfulness, Lord. I thank you that your word has gone forth, that it's accomplishing what it was sent to do, and it will not return void, that each seed was planted and it'll bring forth fruit in its season, 30, 60, and 100 fold. It was planted on good soil, and so now, Lord, I seal it by the Holy Spirit of promise in each life, starting right here, Lord. I give you praise and thanksgiving for your goodness and your mercy, which is new every day, for your salvation, which is new every day. And that's why we need to have a new salvation every day, not living on the past. Once again, Lord, we acknowledge that the past is history. Tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift. That's why it's called the present, Lord. Thank you for that. Jesus, we praise you and thank you and give you glory and honor. We thank you again for ministering to us by the Holy Spirit. Now we sanctify the food and the fellowship in Jesus' name. Bless those that are responsible for it, Lord. And we just thank you that most of all, we want fellowship with you. And as a result, we have fellowship with one another, Lord, in the beauty of holiness. Thank you, Lord. In the wonderful name of Jesus, those who agree, say amen.